Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the full spectrum of mining in Alaska. And you also know that we will have special guests to discuss the different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trail. Let's do what we do first here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a little contest. This afternoon, let's see if we can't get a nice prize of a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining into the hands of one of our listeners. Let's see, what would be a good contest? How about this? Tell me who is located at 452-1751. I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do, and a lot of information about them. So, the first person who will give me the information regarding who lives at 452-1751 and can tell me who they are, where they are, and what they do in detail, then phone me at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'll win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, that's Mount McKinley Bank.
Mount McKinley Bank. Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank.
Right.
And where are they located?
They are located on 3rd Avenue across the street from the co-op.
Across the street from co-op. Do you know their...
The back door of the co-op. Or on what avenue is their entrance with their...
Parking.
Parking lot, yeah.
And...
They
do you know the number?
I beg your pardon?
Do you know the number?
400 block, I think.
Well, as sure. A matter of fact, the information that I have, it's 534th Avenue. 530.
They're good people. I've been doing business with them since they opened in 1966. Did you know they opened in 1966?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. Perhaps maybe a little earlier than that. 1965, as a matter 65. Of fact.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
I've been there since 66.
That's close enough. Tell me about what you've experienced there at Mount McKinley.
Real friendly. And they are very accommodating for any kind of business you want to do with them. They got good IRA accounts. They have good regular savings accounts, any kind of checking account you might want. One of the things I really appreciate, sometimes you have to send money orders and things like that.
Right.
That service is free.
It is.
Yep.
Did you ever hear of one of their more innovative services, and that's the Prime Time account?
I just changed to that just last week.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
It's for, you must be over 55.
I just turned 55 this year.
Well, anyway, that qualifies you for this Prime Time, doesn't it? Did you?
And one other thing on that Prime Time account, you can have traveler's checks free of charge. I mean, of course, you pay for the check, but, you know, the extra.
Sure, the fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preparation fees. And, there's no minimum balance on your checking account?
Right.
No service charges?
No service charges.
Well, that just about covers that Prime Time stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 3 or 4 other features there. You could have direct deposit, you know, for those that are maybe in the wintertime that can't get out, they want to have their Social Security direct deposit.
Uh-huh.
Or other things.
Did you know that Mount McKinley has recently expressed interest in helping people build their dream homes and that they will finance new housing projects in the Fairbanks area?
Well, I knew they had that's what they are, is a home loan business. Gosh, I wish I could afford one, huh?
Uh-huh. Sounds interesting. I know that Lee and I have been looking at some houses recently, and be honest with you, you know, the houses just don't fit what I'd like to have, but Leah's seen a couple that she says she could be happy in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means. At any rate...
Well, that's great, because there's a lot of banks that, you know, are not in the lending business anymore on new homes. I mean,
sure.
They're trying to get rid of things they've repossessed.
Well, do you know what you've done here?
I hope I got that.
You certainly
silver.
Did. You won a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, and you know them as your precious metals people.
I do business with them, too.
You do?
Yes.
Do you know
I
all
do.
My sponsors?
Well, no, I don't.
You don't. You're pretty close, though. But you will, next time that we have this contest, you will remember that Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank is located at
543. What did you say?
530 Fourth Avenue.
530
Fourth Avenue.
Okay, on Fourth okay. Avenue. Huh?
And that they have been in business since 1965.
Okay.
Two important things that we want to remember. And by golly, you've done a fine job on this ad. And I think that one other item, that the next time you go into my Mount McKinley Mutual Savings Bank, would you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
You tell them you heard me talking about them here on Alaska Gold Trails, would you?
Okay.
I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Chip.
Well, can I have your name?
Darlene Weaver.
Darlene, okay. Darlene, I'll tell you what you do. You stop up here at Washington Plaza at the radio station, and you pick up the certificate that I'll have out at the desk for you, and then you take it over to Oxford, and D. Church will... present the certificate to D. Church, and she will give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Great.
Hello, D. Don't you've been trading over there for a while, or
oh, yeah.
Ray?
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Darlene.
Uh-huh.
Bye now. Well, that was interesting. We're here this afternoon with Bill Boucher, and we're going to continue our saga of being raised in Nome and some of the experiences that Bill went through during his time in the Nome area. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill, well, wait a minute. We got a call here right off the bat. Let's see what we've got. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Frank.
Well, I think you got the wrong number. You're on the radio.
Well, okay, that's what I want anyway. I wanted to know, did you say Mount McKinley runs on 4th Avenue?
Yes, it extends between 3rd and 4th, and my name's Jim.
Oh, Jim and Donna, that's right. I'm sorry. That's
all right.
No,
I've been called a lot of names in my life, so.
Have you ever been called Frank?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have been called Frank from time to time.
Well, anyway, I was just really concerned because I thought that Mount McKinley's main address is on 3rd Avenue, and that's all I wanted to know.
Okay, the parking lot, by the way, is on 4th.
Uh-huh.
But it has entrances on both 3rd and 4th.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Bill, we got that squared away, and we were talking a couple of weeks ago. Bill joined me here on Alaska Gold Trails, and we were talking about his adventures in the Nome area up until about the time he was 4 years old, if I recall. Correct me if I'm wrong. I recall that you were born in 1934 in Nome, Alaska.
Correct.
And it was a nice little frontier town. And you then, at about 4 years old, you went out outside the outer states, and you became familiar with Seattle and some other parts of the country. What was the western state that you went into?
Well, my grandmother at that time lived in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
So we went there to visit. I became acquainted with cows and a lot of other interesting animals and things that we didn't have in Nome in those days.
And then you returned to Nome, and how did you go out and come back, just briefly?
Well, at that time, most all of the passenger transportation was by boat. Alaska Steamship Company had passenger ships running at that time. So we went out on the old Victoria and came back on the Baranof.
And how old were you when you got back? Was I accurate in that it was 4 years old?
I was still 4 years old when we got back, yes.
Uh-huh. And did you, when you got back, I recall that we ended up the program discussing a little bit about Nome, and I think perhaps this afternoon we'll get into some more depth about it, but we were talking about the end of the rail line. Now, give us once again where that rail line went to and what its function was in the Nome area.
Well, the railroad at Nome was a narrow-gauged track that went from Nome up into the Cougar Rock mining area and ended at a place called Bunker Hill. The purpose, I guess, was to furnish transportation up into the mining area to get equipment in and naturally gold and so forth out.
They needed a train for that, right?
Well, let's hope so.
And we were talking as we completed our show last time about the fact that the engines were pulled off into the sand at the end of the rail line there in Nome.
Well, I guess they didn't have any place else to put them, so they just ran them off the end of the track and onto the beach. And as a kid growing up, I had the opportunity to play inside and on this old iron. Eventually, they disappeared into the sand, and of course, in 1947 or so, they built a breakwater along the beach. Of course, that covered up whatever was left.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, give us a little information now about how you saw Nome in that period, during that period of time. That was now about 19... For the next few years...
1940.
It was about 19... You were 4 years old, if I recall. Did we leave off at four, or did we leave off at six?
Actually, we left off kind of after I got back from the trip to the south.
Okay, give us a little more information about what happened between the end of the trip and what you did until you went to school.
That's kind of hard to remember those days. You know, you remember the highlights, like the trip. That was a big mm-hmm. highlight, so I remember that. But the rest of the time was just getting along, just playing around in Nome and learning to ski. I remember my grandfather had a store, a general store in Nome, and I remember our butter came in kegs, wooden kegs of brine. And so when I decided I wanted to ski, he broke down one of the kegs of, butter kegs and made me a pair of skis out of the barrel staves.
I see.
So there was a hill right in front of our house. In fact, our house was on a hill overlooking the river and the Bering Sea. And so I had a perfect place to learn how to ski.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that river?
That was the Snake River.
The Snake River.
Snake River runs out of the mountains into the Bering Sea right in front of Nome.
Nome, uh-huh. Were there dredges operating in Nome during that period of time?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I know when you go into Nome, you can see some old dredges sitting off to the side of the airport there.
Well, there's one right at the end of the airport that was working. I'm not sure if it's working right now or not, but it was working up to a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There are several others in that area that have been, that aren't working, haven't worked for quite a number of years. The big one, number five, is working this year and has been for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. That's owned by Alaska Gold, is it?
No, that one, yeah, I guess Alaska, yeah, right, Alaska Gold.
Uh-huh.
Used to be called USSR&M,
mm-hmm.
And I still remember them as the company.
Well, give us a little more information about your experiences in Nome, surrounding perhaps the adventures like the skiing and so forth that went on.
Say that again?
You know, like you got some more activities like the skiing adventures you had, making the skis out of barrel staves and things of that nature.
Well, okay. Let's see what I can remember there.
I mean, as a young boy, you must have had some adventures. Did you fall through the ice? Did the wolves or the polar bears trap you out on a ice cake or anything adventurous like that? Did you fish for crab through a hole in the ice?
Oh, sure, but that was, of course, later in years.
Uh-huh.
After I had my dog team in those days, all of our crabs were caught in the wintertime. We'd
uh-huh.
go out and chop a hole in the ice, and everybody that was doing that had, once you started the hole, it was yours. You know, nobody bothered it, and you used your own crab traps,
mm-hmm.
so forth. I remember pulling in some nice big king crab from the bottom of the Bering Sea, bringing them to town, maybe sled full, and selling them for 50 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm. I see. That's the mode of income that I hadn't thought of.
Well, that was it's a lot different than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't buy it for $6 a pound now.
Yeah. Tell us the atmosphere in Nome in that time. Was there a lot of dogs? You mentioned having a dog team. Were there a lot of dog teams around, or was there any other form of transportation? Any no snow machines? No.
No. The only thing close to a snow machine. A few of the miners, more affluent miners, had track vehicles
uh-huh.
that they ran back and forth. I remember a number of them had snow planes. Now these were three-skied vehicles with a propeller on the back. Very, very much like the airboats.
Yeah,
These were snow boats, I guess, or snow
sure.
planes, like we called them. Some were made to very much like an airplane. Others were just
mm-hmm.
Wooden boxes with propellers on the back.
I see, yeah.
But in the wintertime in Nome, they used to, we used to put our car away for the winter. We'd
mm-hmm.
jack it up and put it up on blocks, and that was it. They didn't keep the roads open. So the only way to get around would be dog teams or caterpillars or snow machines,
mm-hmm.
as they were in those days. Most of my transportation, of course, was either walking or on skis or with my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I used to enjoy going out with my dogs on skis.
Mm-hmm.
They'd pull me up the mountain, and I'd turn them loose, and I'd go down the other side, and they'd come tumbling after.
I see.
We'd all meet up at the bottom. I'd hook them up, and off we'd go again up the next hill.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun.
Did you, when you first started the school, can I get that far ahead?
Sure,
now?
Go ahead.
Huh? Oh, the where was the school located? Was it centrally located in town?
It was about three or four blocks from anywhere.
From anywhere? It was anywhere, let's see, that could have been the Board of Trade Bar, is that right? Is
sure.
anywhere the Board of Trade
well,
Bar?
Well, just about any place you were in Nome at that time, the school was pretty close.
Yeah, okay. And did it have full 12 grades? Or
yes, we had all 12 grades in one building.
How many students, can you recall about all in one building, and how many students did you have there at that time, can you recall? Give me a hip shot on that one.
Well, let me think. I think I started in the first grade with about 20.
Uh-huh. 20 in the first grade?
20 in the first grade. I actually, now, let me think. That may have been first and second grade because each room had two grades. The lower floor of the building was all grade school, first through eighth. And first and second were in one room, and third and fourth, and then fifth and sixth, and then seventh and eighth were in one room.
Mm-hmm.
So, there may have been 20, 24 in the classroom, so that may have been both first and second grade. I really don't remember.
I want to come back in just a minute, Bill, and talk about what you thought of school in Nome when you first entered it, and whether or not it was a strange environment or whether you were comfortable with it. But first, I want to talk about some of the people who make Alaska Gold Trails possible, and one of those people, of course, is Macaulay's Repro Graphics. And one of my guests last week who entered in on the contest said, I asked them, what does Macaulay's Repro Graphics do? And they said they reprograph. Well, I guess that's true. They do blueprinting, copying service, and of course they rent surveying equipment and they service surveying equipment. But I'd also like to point out that they have a full line of drafting equipment over there for technical drafting. And they also have a lot of instruments that are particularly applicable to mining in the sense that we need compasses, high-quality compasses, not only for the miner but for the geologist and anybody interested in the earth sciences. In addition to that, I'd like to point out that they have the hip chains that are so necessary for outlining the distances or claim lines accurately. So that's Macaulay's Repro Graphics. They're located
over there at 721 Gaffney. Their phone number is 452-8141. Again, that's 452-8141. And you want to tell Becky that you heard Jim Madonna talking about him right here on Alaska Gold Trails.
Ox Farm and Garden Center, 12 Mile Richardson Highway. Summer has arrived and the southern bells are in full bloom and outtending the many plants, flowers, and hanging pots that are available at Hawks Farm and Garden Center. Also starring for your summer pleasure are trees, shrubs, and all kinds of seeds and fertilizer to help you plan a yard that will be the envy of all your friends. Stay tuned for more developments in the summer saga from Hawks Farm and Garden Center, 12 Mile Richardson Highway.
Delta, be there! The Delta Chamber of Commerce invites you to enjoy the beauty and the splendor of the great outdoors of Delta Junction. Enjoy the peace and tranquility that the atmosphere creates. Enjoy many fun family activities like clearwater fishing, camping, and hiking. Visit Quartz Lake or take a lazy stroll in the Big Delta State Historical Park. For more information, call the Delta Chamber of Commerce at 895-5068. Enjoy the time of your life. Delta, your home away from home.
One of the sponsors who have felt that it was a good idea to have Alaska Gold Trails here on KFAR is Gabe's Truck and Auto. And, of course, they've been with me ever since we started Alaska Gold Trails almost 2 years ago. And I want to tell them how much I appreciate their support for the program. And in addition to that, we also want to point out that Gabe's Truck and Auto services light trucks, motorhomes, and big rigs in addition to autos. And that Gabe's Truck and Auto has been recognized as one of the more quality repair shops in the Fairbanks area. In addition to the engine and general vehicle maintenance that Gabe's offers, they can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuild engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And as you can see, folks, Gabe's Truck and Auto is a one-stop service center. And, oh, I've always talked about this IM inspection over at Gabe's. Now, I'm not sure that, absolutely sure that Gabe originated the no-pass, no-pay policy. But it's the first time that I heard of it, probably because I've been trading with Gabe's for over 5 years. And they do have that service available. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's Truck and Auto. So take a look at what they have to offer over there and check them out. One other item that you might want to know about is that Gabe's has a fine towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. And getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. And I've said this many, many times before. You might want to write that number down in case you have an emergency, need a tow in a hurry. The number is 456-6156. Put that number in your glove compartment. In case of that emergency, you can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. And you might catch that, you might write that catchy little phrase down, turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, and you might win something nice here on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails, if you happen to remember that. And, of course, their phone number over there is 456-6156, and you just go over there and you tell them that you heard Jim Madonna talking about them. We're here once again with Bill Boucher, and if you have a question of Bill or care to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Bill, tell us about your first experience entering the Nome School. Did you went into the first grade, or did you go no kindergarten in those days?
No, we didn't know what kindergarten was.
Okay, so first grade. What did you think when you walked in there?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Chance to see all your friends.
Oh, yeah, we got to play. Recess was fantastic, you know.
And did you enjoy the learning and everything?
Oh, I enjoyed school. I think I always have enjoyed school.
Tell us, do students, first and second grade students in Nome, Alaska, what do they do at recess? Do they run, jump, and play, or do they go out and hitch up their dogs and go for a run around the school? What's the activity there? Is it different than the lower states, or is it the same?
Oh, it's pretty much the same. If the weather was good enough, we got outdoors to work off a little steam. If the weather wasn't good, then we headed for the gymnasium, and we had 15 minutes or 20 or whatever it was in the gym to romp and roar and do whatever we wanted to do.
Did you have a longer lunch period?
I think we had an hour for lunch because we always walked home for lunch.
Oh, I see. No sack lunch or anything like that?
Well, we looked for, at least I did, I looked forward to stormy days when my mother would make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and send it to school with me.
I see.
And that was really something. Anything that's different is enjoyable. So we enjoyed our stormy days because we could sit in school and eat our lunch.
As you passed through the school years, you went all the way from the first grade to the 12th grade at Nome?
No, actually my third, fourth, and fifth grades were in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, you know.
That was during the Second World War.
Tell us what happened there.
You want to know about the Second World War?
No, tell us what happened that you had to go out to Coeur d'Alene.
Well, I remember one evening listening to what was called the Richfield Reporter. This was a shortwave news broadcast in the evening. And we listened to President Roosevelt give his speech on the bombing of Pearl Harbor. That was a big, a big thing in my life, at least. I was just old enough to kind of understand what was going on. I knew it was big. Shortly thereafter, we became very interested in the Japanese and what was going on, and we got into blackouts. So every evening, about dark, it was my job to go outdoors and go all the way around the house and make sure that no light was streaming through any cracks. And I remember one day, a big scare at Nome. A Japanese airplane flew over, very high, but it did fly over. And so as a result of that, it was decided that the kids would be evacuated. So I don't remember how long it took or exactly when it happened, but we were all the kids of my age and younger, maybe even older, I don't remember, were loaded aboard a trimotor Ford with one lady. Her name was Mrs. Rao, as our guide, I guess. We were loaded on a trimotor Ford, and we took off from Nome and flew to Fairbanks, where we all went different directions. My Aunt Louise, who lived in Fairbanks at the time, picked me up. Of course, my sister was with me, too. I almost forgot. My sister was 5 years younger. Anyway, my Aunt Louise then took us on another plane from Fairbanks to Juneau to Seattle. And then a train from Seattle over to Coeur d'Alene, where she deposited us with my grandmother. And I spent the next 3 years with my grandmother. So I had 3 years in a Catholic school in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. After the war, we were shipped back.
And was Nome the same when you came back? Did you find it had changed that much, or?
Not a great deal.
Were you happy to get back to Nome?
Yes. But I enjoyed the respite in Coeur d'Alene. It was fun. It was different.
Tell us how it was different.
Well, the Catholic school was different, of
mm-hmm.
course. But there were a lot of different things to do, things that that you couldn't do in Nome. But then there were things we did in Nome that we couldn't do in anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it both places, but I was glad to get back to Nome.
Mm-hmm. And what grade were you in when you got back to Nome?
I started the sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And you went from there all the way through then?
Yes, except for the latter 2 months or 3 months of my eighth grade year. I contracted pneumonia, and the hospital in Nome, I guess, wasn't equipped to take care of me, so they put me on an airplane and sent me to Seattle, and I spent a month in the in the hospital in Seattle, and then afterwards they sent me to California to recuperate.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent my first year in high school in California recuperating, and then returned to Nome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was difficult, I suppose. Did you fell back then? Did you fall back, or were you capable of maintaining your high education level?
Actually, I got a diploma from the eighth grade from Nome, even though I wasn't there for graduation. Plus, I got another one from a little school in California called Pine Grove. It was a one-room school that had everything from first to eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent 6 weeks there, and I got a diploma.
You know, it's interesting that you brought those one-room schoolhouses up. I went to a one-room schoolhouse, and all the grades from 1 to 8 in the same room, and one teacher. One teacher, I had her for 3 years, and the library was alongside the wall, and the bathrooms were out a ways from the schoolhouse, a distance, and it was pretty frontiersy.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was the kind of school that you could play throw over the building, where you threw the tennis ball clear over the schoolhouse to play the game, and so you get an idea of the size of the schoolhouse.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, those are fun, one-room schoolhouse. Besides that, there was a learning experience there. It was a little bit different in that when you were like in the second and third grade, there were all those older kids in there, and they were teaching you things that you wouldn't learn normally from a first, second, and third grader.
That's right.
And they gave you a little things like, I remember in the first and second grade, they would help you tie your shoes, and you'd learn to do those other little kinds of things other than the studying, and then they would help you read and help you do your math problems and help you cheat on tests. Oh, I don't know if they did that. But you know how that went in those one-room schools, so I can relate to that pretty well. And I'm sure a lot of our listening audience has had similar experiences. But back to Nome. We went through up to high school. You graduated from high school then at Nome.
Yes.
And did you have any experiences in high school that have stuck with you over the years, or even in the previous grade school period? That was interesting about the pneumonia, Bill. Not everybody has that experience in their school days.
Well, I hope not. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, just arbitrarily. There were a lot of things that we did in Nome that people don't do other places. I had, like I mentioned before, I had a dog team. We raced.
Oh, yeah.
We had dog races, and some of the time I raced with sled and sometimes on skis. And it was a lot of things like that. I had a trap line.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of muskrat, mink, marten, a few fox, even a few wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Those are certainly things that one on the outside might not, an activity they might not engage in.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. We had the Boy Scouts, and as a Boy Scout, we did a lot of things. We overnighted in the snow a lot of times. I mention that to kids today, and they just don't understand.
And they don't understand how you do that. Look, I don't understand either, and I might want to get back with you in just a minute. And let's talk about overnighting in the snow and how one would go about it and stay alive. Now, this is in the middle of the winter, I suspect, is it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah? Okay, we'll be right back, and we'll talk about it.
The 1990 Subarus are here. See the all-new Legacy or the ever-popular Subaru Loyale. Get the 1990 Subaru now at Fairbanks Motors, or great savings on an 89 Subaru with rebates of up to $3,000. Choose front-wheel drive or the ever-popular four-wheel drive from the dealership that cares about you and your service needs. Fairbanks Motors, 3775 South Cushman, just south of Van Horn Road on Cushman.
Who sponsors Alaska Gold Trails? Tip Top Chevrolet Buick sponsors Alaska Gold Trails. They're located at 1916 South Cushman. Their phone number is 452-8211, and you know Robbie Ginther is the general manager over there. Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years, and again, it's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. I'd like to take a moment out and give you the names of some of the people who have worked over at Tip Top Chevrolet for a considerable length of time. Jim Brown is, of course, the sales manager. So if you want to stop in and talk new car sales, talk to Jim Brown and Elmer Ostblom if it's a used car. And you just go ahead. You tell them that Jim's been talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails. They'll like to hear that. And if you need some service, the service manager over there is Randy Meadows. And Randy has 6 years' experience at Tip Top's service department, and I'm certain that he can help you out in along those lines. And in the body shop, the body shop manager is Randy Mayu. So if you need some auto body and fender work done, you stop in and talk to Randy. In addition to that, I was over to Tip Top Chevrolet a couple of days ago, looking at one of their vans and a couple of their pickups, and boy, those pickups are streamlined, shiny, and looking good over there. And I'd like to give you some of the characteristics of some of those Chevrolet pickups. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history, and it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup, it's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. How do you like that one, Robbie? Was that okay for you, buddy? Folks, stop over at Tip Top Chevrolet. You tell Robbie Ginther over there you heard Jim Madonna talking about him right here on Alaska Gold Trails. I'm sure he'll be glad to hear that news.
Buy a boat at cost this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Spalding Sports Inventory Clearance Sale. There's plenty of summer left for you to get on board in the inboard jet boat from Almar. 17-foot lights, 19-foot jet streams, and 22-foot jet lines and sounders at cost. Give them a call at 488-6998. Or come on out to 6 Mile Badger Road and see these boats, which are perfect for running the rivers or offshore. Buy a boat at cost through Sunday only at the inventory reduction sale at Spalding Sports.
Did I say something about Oxford Assaying and Refining? Did I tell you that they are your precious metals people? Where they're located? You all know where they're located. 208 Wendell Street. Know their phone number? 456-3967. What do? They buy the gold from the miners. They also sell gold, gold jewelry. They also sell investment, precious metals, gold and silver. They sell gift items. They've got great gift items, coins and ingots of silver and gold. Everybody that has ever received one of these ingots as a gift has enjoyed it, especially all the people who win the contest on Alaska Gold Trails. That's another good reason to stay tuned, isn't it? Stop on over there at Oxford Assaying and Refining. Ask D. Church or Ray about their special investment ideas on bullion bars, either gold or silver. And don't forget their daily prices on gold, silver, and platinum. You can phone their quote line, which is 452-7858. Instant prices on gold, silver, and platinum. And for information, you want to phone their information number, which is 456-3967. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. And you tell the folks over there, you heard me talking about them right here on Alaska Gold Trails. And once again, we're here with Bill Boucher, and we were talking about life in Nome, Alaska. Bill, tell us, give us some more information about your activities in Nome through the years, the school years especially.
Well, about the same time I started school, grade school, I went to work for my grandfather, part-time, of course, in his general store. My first duties were behind the candy counter.
I see. Well, that was really a nice place to be working, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Except I learned at a very early age that you don't eat the prophet.
And how did he persuade you to understand that clearly?
Well, he turned me loose. He said, okay, this is it. He said, you have this much inventory. He said, it should bring in this much money. And by golly, it did.
It did? It did. Yeah? And did you have to pay up for any of that?
Well, I don't remember if I did or not, but I do remember learning very early that if I ate something out of the candy counter, it wasn't going to show up on the receipts.
Uh-huh.
Right. And how long did you do that?
Well, I off and on for a number of years. I graduated out of the candy counter to the grocery department, to the meat market, and through the years I went through all of the departments, dry goods, and I even got to cut meat. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good experience for a young man.
It was. It was. Uh-huh. I enjoyed it.
Did during that period of time, you worked in the grocery store. What was the name of the store?
Well, for the old-timers may remember the name A. Paulette. My grandfather's name was Tony Paulette, or Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just called A. Paulette General Store. So,
A. Paulette General Store.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there was to it.
That's it.
And you carried everything from candy to meats and clothing? Any clothing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Full line of everything that imaginable.
Actually, it was a trading post almost. But
it was a large trading post, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did you take in furs or gold?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
we bought gold. Well, up until the time that gold was taken off the market, then the only thing you could buy was nuggets for jewelry purposes.
Uh-huh.
And of course, he always had a arts and crafts area, so we bought an awful lot of ivory and furs and so forth. But then later on, he sold out the store to the NC Company, Northern Commercial Company. But he kept the arts and crafts. He opened up a separate store. And we had our own fur shop. We hired our own fur people, and we had ivory carvers on payroll.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And
is there a remnant of that store left in Nome?
The building is still there,
and
the polar bear that was out in front is still there, but that's it.
The store hadn't been handed down then, or the business?
No. After my grandfather died, my mother sold it to Jonas Brothers.
Oh?
And it just kind of...
The taxidermist?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It just kind of went away from there.
I see. I had an experience one time, speaking about a trading post, about 10 years ago. My wife, of course, owns Alaskan Prospectors here in town, and a lot of the miners come in with gold and other items. And this one day, this miner came in, and he had some gold with him, and we had a number of furs that were available there. And we had a number of beaver skins that had been tanned nicely, and he wanted some beaver skins. And so we were negotiating how much gold he was going to give me for the beaver skins. We were going back and forth. He says, I will give you this much gold for four beaver skins. And I says, oh, no, I couldn't. I would have to have this much gold for four beaver skins, but I will give you five beaver skins for that much gold. And there were some tourists in there, and they were staring at us like it was really the old-time stuff, And it really, if you stop and think about it, it was just the way it worked.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we finally ended up striking a bargain. He gave me this much gold for some beaver skins.
Sure.
Let's see who wants to talk to us today, though. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm curious, what was his Aunt Louise's last name when she got married?
Before she got married?
No, when she got married.
It was Louise Paulette.
That's what I thought.
Sure. She was married to Al Paulette.
Yes, and I knew both of them very well. Thank you very much.
And who is calling?
Well, I don't think that you would know me.
Oh, all right.
The reason I know him is because my husband worked for Pan American.
Oh, of course.
That's all I got.
What was his name?
he's gonna drag it out of you.
He's gonna get it out of me.
Okay, might as well break down and give it, huh? That's all right, man. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Let's see. What shall we do? Bill, I want to talk about one more person that supports our program, and then we're going to let you have the rest of the day. And the person, the store that I want to talk about is my good friend Killer over at B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. And I've said this a lot of times, that it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks, and that maybe that statement is an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room, and one-stop shopping will get you everything. And to give you kind of an idea of what you can get over there at B&L Pawn, let me list a few of the items. They've got jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters,
And the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. And furthermore, B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings. But also, if you tell Killer, my friend Killer, you heard it from Jim here on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. Hey, and if the money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that, too. So, if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pond. They're located at 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. And you know, folks, Killer never says no. She'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, if you tell her that you heard Jim talking about her right here on Alaska Gold Trail, she might even sell you the chandelier. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it from Jim right here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten that deal for you. Bill, let's talk a little bit more. One thing we wanted to talk about, and that's camping out in the snow.
Oh, I thought you'd forgotten.
I just postponed it, Bill.
Well, camping out in the snow isn't so difficult. It's just like camping out anywhere, except that you have to take into consideration that it might be 20 below zero.
And how do you take that into consideration?
Well, generally we would sleep under the snow. And under the surface of the snow, it's not 20 below. It may be, 20 above.
Uh-huh.
And once you...
No wind factor either.
That's right. But so once you dig a hole and generally what would happen if we were planning to do this, we'd take some reindeer skins with us and lay the reindeer skin out first, then a sleeping bag on top of that, and cover over with the reindeer skin, and there you were. We got a nice comfortable place to sleep.
Frontier style.
Hey, it works.
Reindeer skin. Do they call that siwashing it?
I'd never heard that term.
If you're a white man, that means that you've taken up the Indian way of life.
I see. Okay.
And I've heard when George Washington Carmack, who was the discoverer of the gold in the Klondike, or at least staked the first claim there, he was a Siwash. He had taken up the Indian way of life. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent there. We've got a couple of minutes left here. Bill, you were also talking about trapping, and did you ever do any gold pan? Now, we're talking only up to the period when you graduated from high school, is that right?
Sure.
Okay. We'll talk about the rest of your life later on down the line somewhere, maybe in future shows. But right now, let's talk about, just quickly, did you do any gold mining, gold panning, or search for gold on the beaches of Nome? And maybe next time you come on, we can talk about how the Nome Beach deposit was discovered and how the sequence of events that led up to that discovery.
Sure.
I think we've had a discussion about that privately, and I'm sure that the people in the listening audience would appreciate hearing that. Now, did you pan any gold during your years in school?
Lots of times.
Lots of times. On the beaches?
Well, on the beaches, yes, and of course all over the Seward Peninsula, various places, but the beach, of course, was always an interesting place, or most interesting, after a southeast storm. For some reason, after the storm, the beaches were just littered with gold.
Is that right? And does that still occur to this day?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So there's an increase in the gold in the surface sands of the beaches after the southeast storm.
That's right.
And you'd go down there, what, with a pan or a sluice box or a surf washer? What would you use there?
Different times, different things. We played around with all kinds of things. We built rocker boxes. We built long toms. And, all kinds of different gimmicks to try to make it pay. The beach at Nome has always been a place where you could go down and earn a living. Not a great one, but you could earn enough to live on.
Well, you know, Bill, with that, I think we're going to stop it right there. And I want to say to you, thanks for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails. And if they want to hear more about the gold in the known beach sands, perhaps they ought to stay tuned to Alaska Gold Trails for future shows. I want to thank you, Bill, for participating with me today on the show. And we'll have you back again, my friend.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to thank you for listening and taking part in the show. And I would invite you back again in future shows to listen to what we have to say, perhaps win a prize. And I want you to know that you're listening to Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails and KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial. It's 2 p.m.